We actually look at our lives and look at the testimony that each of us have, it's a powerful, powerful testimony that we can share with the world. We see the Apostle Paul when he goes through and all the places where he's caught and he's beaten and stoned, he gets up immediately and all of a sudden goes back in and starts preaching again. What caused him to be that way? What caused him to act that way? What caused him to be transformed and renewed? See, God takes the least likely ever to succeed, the uneducated, the unlearned, and those are the individuals that God turns around for his glory, his honor, and his praise. And if we turn to Acts chapter 9, I want to share a little bit about Paul's conversion. And I'm reading out of the Touchpoint Bible. Meanwhile, while Saul was uttering threats every breath, he was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was nearing Damascus on this mission, the word says that a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir?" Saul asked, and the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men with Saul stood speechless with surprise, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. And as Saul picked himself up off the ground, he found that he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days. And all that time, he went without food and water. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. God is doing a lot of talking here. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judah, and when you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now, and I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can't see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard about this terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem, and we hear that he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest every believer in Damascus." "I've heard about every terrible thing this man has done." Look at our own lives. Look at some of the things that we've gone through, some of the things that we've been caught up in, some of the things that we've been having habits with. And all of a sudden, God comes into our life just like he did Saul. And all of a sudden, God starts to change our life. He starts changing our mentality on who we really are. He was a man that was brought up as a Pharisee, knew all the laws. He knew what he was. And he had gone on the road to Damascus to chain up, restrain, to bring out the men, women, and children because he didn't believe in what was going on. And then it goes on. But the Lord said, "Go and do what I say. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as the people of Israel." and I will show him much he must suffer for me. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And instantly something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he recognized his sight. He regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and afterwards he ate some food and was strengthened. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is indeed the Son of God. What an incredible transformation. What an incredible way for someone to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, in your prayer times, you lift up individuals and you don't know really how they're going to be coming to the Lord. You don't know the process how God's going to bring him. You don't know if it's going to be today, tomorrow, but I'm telling you, don't lose faith in praying for your loved ones. Look at Glenda. Was it your sister-in-law that got into that accident? I got home that day. I don't know if I told you, but my daughter had that on her Facebook. And she showed me the car, and she showed me the truck. That car was demolished. Completely demolished. I looked at that picture, and I thought to myself, oh, God, you know, is this person going to live? The next thing you know, they take her out. It took a while, didn't it? They cut her out with the jaws of life. And they pulled her out. And now the report we heard last week is she's driving again. That's the power of God. That's what God does. He restores, he reheals, he heals, he renews. He does everything. But what caused a lot of that too was when our sister put her on the prayer chain. And all of a sudden the cries of faith of his children to God. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By faith, you lifted her up in the very throne room of grace. And God was true to his word. We each have an incredible testimony of what God has done for us in our life. Same way with Jonathan. The testimony that he gave on Sunday during his baptism. I want to tell you something, brother. I appreciate what you said. Because so many times we can keep those hurts and pains inside and never get them out. And the older we get, the worse it becomes. Believe me, I've been there. I too was hurt as a young boy. And I had so much anger and rage that it really transformed me into something I shouldn't ever have been. And by listening to you on Sunday, it encouraged me even more to share my testimony everywhere that I go of what God has done for me. So I want to tell you, brother, that sometimes people can't see the changes in their lives, but you've come a long ways in just the short period of time that I've known you. You're becoming an incredible, incredible, incredible man of God. And I see your life coming in order and you relying more on the Lord and asking more and wanting to fellowship and be around brothers for encouragement, for edification, for building up, and it's a good thing to see. I'm proud of you. And with you, Martin, it was a hard thing for you when you lost your dad. You were too far away. Then you lost your sister. Then just recently you lost Mario. And it's okay. These are things that we deal with. Some of the things we go through, it hurts when you lose a loved one. In the same way with my brother, when he passed away, like I've shared, you know, we had at least 30 some 40 people around his bed cheering him on. And I was at the foot of the bed, and I believed he was going to get up and we're going to finish strong, you know, what we started. And he didn't get up. And they took a lot out of me. But I'm thankful for my grandson. He's got a real sensitivity to the Spirit. And this is a testimony I want to share about him. When I was going through that time, all of a sudden, my grandson got up that morning and he wouldn't leave my side. For almost 2 months, he slept on my bed, wouldn't let nobody else in. He took care of me for 2 months. All of a sudden, he'd wake up at night and look at me. He says, "Uncle Nicky, Heaven's Gate. Uncle Nicky, Heaven's Gate." My son's autistic like that young boy that just sang. And my grandson is learning how to sing too. And one day he'll be in here and he'll be singing that song. Because God is healing his mind. God is healing his heart. And for 2 months he kept on speaking to me over and over. And all of a sudden he'd bring me a song, "No More Tears, No More Tears in Heaven. No More Tears in Heaven," he'd tell me. And he'd bring me some songs by Jeremy Camp. And he would bring me song after song and minister to me and grab my heart. And you can tell that he was praying. And just recently, too, when my wife lost her mom, it's been a year now that Betty has been gone, he did the same thing. He wouldn't let nobody sleep with her. He slept with her for about a whole month and ministered to her for a whole month. Those are incredible testimonies that all of us have. You know, and I watch Dorothy and I see the incredible testimony that she has and where she's come out. And you ever want to hear a good testimony? Talk to Dorothy about it. I think we need to have like a testimony time where we can come up here and just share what God has done for us. Because he's done some great, amazing things. Look at Sylvia, what God has done for her. She's not the same person she used to be. But I want to share something that I read. At nighttime, my grandson, his mind continues to go and it won't turn off. And sometimes we have to stay up. We take shifts. Sometimes we have to stay up till midnight because his little mind won't turn off. You can't sit there and get mad at him. You can't yell at him. You can't scream at him. You can't spank him, because that's how he is. That's how his little mind is. So I get this faith to faith, and as I read the word, all of a sudden I have him just quote scripture as I quote it to him. And a lot of the scripture that we quote has to do with the mind and his heart, because God has called him to do some incredible things. And we already knew that was going to happen. But this is something that I teach him all the time. I always tell him, be of good cheer. What do you do when you're in a really perilous situation? Like I used to be, you cry out to God in desperation. And one afternoon, when I was squalling to God about something, he interrupted me and said, "Kenneth, did you know I don't hear the cry of my children when they cry out in desperation?" "What?" I said. "I thought you did." He said, "No, I hear the desperation cries of a sinner, because that's all he can cry about. But once you get born again, son, you ought to be crying out of faith. I hear the faith cry." What is a faith cry? It's calling things that be not as though they were. Speak those things into your life. Like I've told you in the back, in the past, when I broke my neck in a car accident, I remember the doctor gave me a bunch of pills. And I lost track for 17 days what I was doing, because I was just taking these pills to get rid of the pain. I'd take pills, I'd have these crazy dreams, I'd wake up, take more pills, have these crazy dreams, go back to sleep, wake up, take more pills. And then finally it was like day 17. I'm thinking, what happened to 17 days? So all of a sudden I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need you to heal me. I can't live like this. I'm free from the addiction. I no longer need these things in my life. And I remember I got the pills and I went to the toilet, which you're not supposed to do. But I went through and I dumped all my pills in the toilet and I flushed them. And from that point on, I stood in faith according to the word that he heals all my sicknesses and delivers me from all my diseases. I had to stand on the word because that's the only thing I had. That was my faith cry to him pertaining to me and my situation. And to make a long story short, I don't have any neck problems. I don't have any back problems where I've broken my back. I don't have any shoulder problems where I broke my collarbone. I don't have any knee problems where I had a surgery on my right knee. I don't have any problems with my ankles where I broke my ankles. So, in other words, God has totally restored my health. I don't know why he did it to me. But I can run, I can jump, I can exercise. Like my son and I, we just started training again about a week ago. For me, he's been training constantly. But I took some time off to let my body heal up a little bit and just enjoy all the holidays and whatever else was going on. But God healed my body. I mean, he literally healed my body. And so now, here is my son, Michael. Michael has one of the most incredible testimonies that you'll ever hear in your life. And Dorothy remembers it. Everything he went through, but God was faithful. And God always brings the right people into your life to help you along your path. Can I share a little bit, Mikey? My son was hearing voices. And they came strong. And all of a sudden, I remember as a little boy, he came up to me and says, Dad, tell those voices to stop. And so every day, those voices got stronger and stronger and stronger to the point that he wasn't sleeping at all. And all of a sudden, my wife is panicking. My daughters are panicking. My older son is panicking. Remember, they're all kids and they're all crying. And all of a sudden, Kim says, we got to take him to the hospital. We got to take him to the hospital because, see, it's getting too bad. And I told Kim, we can't take him there because once we take him there, they're going to put him on medication and they're going to lock him away. I go, Kim, we can't do that. I go, believe me, this is a spiritual issue. Because I found out for the first time that my battle was against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And so, make a long story short, there was a lady named Elvie in Seattle. She called me a week later after Michael wasn't sleeping. He was calling me at work. He was calling me at work. He was calling me at home, telling the voices were getting stronger and louder and telling him to do all kinds of things. And he was all panicky. And then finally I went to the supervisor and I told him I need 2 weeks off of work. And the thing is, they let me off of work for 2 weeks. They didn't ask me why. They didn't question me. They just knew that something was up. All of a sudden, Elvie calls me up and I told her what's happening. She says, oh, praise God. She says, that happened to my grandson. I just put him in the blood of Jesus and he'll be fine. So the voices got worse. And all of a sudden I took him in the back room. I read him every scripture on healing. We read the Bible over and over. We sat there and we were just on the word 24/7, staying up all night long and still able to keep going. And these voices would not stop. And then finally, Elvie calls up. She says, oh, I'm at the tire shop, she says. I'm getting tires on my car, on my van. She says, I'll be in Walla Walla today. I'm leaving today. And she came to our house. And she says, where do I stay? I go, well, there's a back room. She says, oh, praise God. She went in the back room and she closed the door. And she prayed all night long. She prayed all night long. And then the next morning she got up and she says, it's done. The voices are gone. The dragon has been defeated. We all have a testimony. And here my son is today, 30 years old, February 12th. Turned 30 years old and is serving the Lord. And has an incredible testimony. That's just the top of the iceberg of what God has done for him. But I'm thankful that we had someone to stand with during that time that had an understanding of what he was going through, and he was able to be set free. And so like the Apostle Paul, I want to read this part to you here. This is where I want to end. The Apostle Paul knew how to use the faith. That's why in Acts 27, he exhorted the men on that battered sinking ship to be of good cheer. He was telling them to start acting by faith. Can't you imagine those sailors? Though when he said that, listen to that stupid preacher. We're sinking, and he says, be of good cheer. We've thrown everything we have overboard, and he says, be of good cheer. You may be feeling like those sailors did right now. You may be feeling like your ship's going down. You may be feeling like crying out in desperation, but don't do it. Instead, do what Paul said and be of good cheer. Cry out to God in faith and say, Lord, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to despair. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to allow myself anymore into addictions. I'm not going to allow my marriage to fail. I'm not going to allow my children to perish. I'm not going to allow myself to be tossed to and fro. I'm going to make a decision today to be of good cheer. We should be the most happiest people on this earth. You ever seen some Christians when they walk around? They got their head down, they're all sad, and oh, it's me, woe is me. I want to be the type of person that when I walk up to you and I talk to you, that I know by your spirit that there's an excitement inside of you and that you love the Lord and you're doing whatever it's going to take. You got your eyes on the Lord. You got your ears on the Lord. You got your mouth on the Lord. Everything that you are belongs to Him. He's everything to you. And I want to share this about the Apostle Paul at the end. When you go into chapter 26, actually. So Paul is brought before Agrippa. And all the Jewish leaders are all there as well. And now, this is what Paul says. As a Jewish leader are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I'm on trial because I'm looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, O king, they say it is wrong for me to have this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many of the believers in Jerusalem to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times, I then whipped in the synagogues to try to get them to curse Christ. I was so violently opposed to them that I even hounded them in distant cities for foreign lands. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and the commission and the leading priest. About noon, "Your Majesty, a light from heaven brighter than the sun shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to fight against my will?' 'Who are you, sir?' I asked. The Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now stand up, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness, as he has all of us. You are to tell the world about this experience and about other times I will appear to you, and I will protect you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people, who are set apart by faith in me.' And so, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must turn from their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God protected me so that I am still alive today to tell these facts to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be first to rise from the dead as a light to the Jews and Gentiles alike." That was his testimony. Everywhere he went, he shared about of who he was and who he had become. God transformed him. Now, if you'll turn to Philippians 4, this is one of the books that Paul wrote. It says, "Think of excellence. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names or in the book of life." Then he goes on to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And this is what he wants you to be. Be this. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." God calls us to practice these things in our own personal lives. He calls us to walk in the light and to expose the darkness from our lives. He calls us to be witnesses everywhere we go. That's who God has called us to be. So today, I just want you to know that as Apostle Paul was transformed and changed, so we are transformed and changed also. Tomorrow will be 37 years that I've been with my wife. I failed miserably many a times, but because of the faith cries and people like Dorothy in my life, she's probably been in my life longer than anybody here. Well, Martin. But Dorothy has been like a prayer partner for me for about 23 to 25 years. And I can give a testimony of what God has done in my relationship, how he has restored, how he has renewed. He's delivered. And my wife has an incredible testimony too. Remember, everything in the Bible is for reproof, for reproach, for correction, for building up, for edifying. Everything that we read. I will encourage you this week to read the Word. Pinpoint different areas that you're struggling in. Whether it's addiction, whether it's anger, whether it's relationship, maybe you need to make it right with someone. I don't know. But take the time to ask God, show me what I need to do. You know, right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people here today. Numbers don't matter to me. Because see, in order to get to the bigger things, we have to take care of the smaller things. And I'm here today, and I'm thankful that God has given me this time today to share this word with you. I just want to encourage you that you do have a testimony, an incredible testimony. And brother, you have an incredible testimony what God has done for you. And you need to share it with other people. You know what's encouraging for me when I see a church full of men? Because men are so busy, caught up doing their own things. I want to see them fill the church. I want to see them come to that realization where they can confess their sins and be like Paul and just say, hey, this is where I was, and now look at me. This is where I am today. I'm sharing the gospel and power, might, and dominion. And that's what God is doing.